Hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome to hour two of the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master, and I have Pete from Scuba Board to help me kick it off for this hour. Yes, buddy. How are you down there in the Florida Keys?
You know, yeah. Life is better down here where it's wetter.
Well, you're not in really any wetter than I am up in Orlando. You're just closer to the water, so I guess you are. You are better off.
I stay wetter.
Yeah, you're better off. You're right. You got me on that one. But, hey, I got to go back a little bit to last week because we talked to you on the phone as you were cruising back to the Keys from...
Let's tell you about all the octopods.
That's right. They saw a Blue Heron Bridge there in Palm Beach.
Awesome
and,
dive.
Yeah, it was a pretty good stuff from what you were describing. And one of the things we didn't talk about because I didn't know at the time because I talked to you this week and you tell me that you were actually diving your rebreather.
Yes, there. I was.
Under the bridge. So
down to the bone-crushing depth of 19 feet.
Yeah, that doesn't seem like the typical application for a rebreather to me. I would have never thought you were diving your rebreather there in that shallow a depth. So what did you want to do? Just go down there and be able to get close to the fishes or just stay down for hours on end? Because on a rebreather at 20 feet, you could have stayed down for like 8 hours. Am I right?
Well, you're right. Probably 7 on that particular unit.
Yeah.
But I only had an hour and a half window to dive it.
Right.
Because of the current, of the tides.
Yeah, you got to hit it on slack tide if you're going
to
dive.
You have to hit it 45 minutes max before the tide peaks, and then you got about 45 minutes after.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that's it. But, you know, and this is something that I've seen a lot of, is the mainstreaming of rebreathers, and there's lots of reasons to dive a rebreather. Having to go on these long expedition dives is not necessarily one of them.
Yeah. What is it? Is it being able to get up close and personal with the fishes because
exactly.
You have no bubbles? Yeah.
No bubbles, and it's quiet. It's the quietest thing.
Well, it's quiet unless you're surrounded by 50 other divers, which you said there were quite a few.
Which I was.
Yeah, there was plenty of noise going on around you, so that part didn't work. But you were able to get up close and personal, well, to the octopus that you were talking about last week.
You know, we saw batfish. We saw octopi. I saw the Easter eel, remember I was telling you about, that was golden black in the nose. Had lots of blue in it.
Yeah.
It was gorgeous.
That was an Easter eel, you think?
Well, I'm calling it an Easter eel. I don't care what anyone else calls it.
I think it is. You know, I think our song last week solidified the fact that you saw an Easter eel.
And I found an egg sinker, so it must have been him.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, they have their eggs, their lead weights. Who knows? It doesn't matter.
When I was down there, they have lots of the juveniles of our reef on Blue Heron Bridge.
Well, it's like a nursery under there, isn't it?
Nursery, good way of putting it. Mm-hmm. We had lobsters that were from the head to the end of the tail were 4 or 5 inches. Not the carapace, the whole bug.
How about that?
You know, and I actually, at one point in time, this is real close to that eel, I put my finger down, and I had a bug actually crawl up my finger.
Really? Did you get any of that on video? Were you taking pictures?
I did not take any video with me, but again, I believe it's because I'm diving a rebreather.
Well, I'm sure. Yeah, they wouldn't pay attention to you.
I don't appear to them as being anything but
more reef.
Exactly.
Yeah, potential home.
A handsome reef, but reef nonetheless.
Yeah, okay. All right. So, yeah, I mean, that is the one thing that stood out when I did my rebreather experience in Grenada. I was just shocked how they, you know, like we just kneeled down next to the edge of the reef in the sand, and the fish just slowly started to migrate over to us. Like we were like, hey, let's go inhabit this thing, you know, and I was like, whoa. And the fish are like in your, you know, in your mask and in your BC. And it's like they're finding little crevices to hide in. I was like, this is pretty cool. So it was pretty remarkable.
It is.
Yeah.
Can I make a confession?
Okay, go ahead.
I swam up behind a hogfish that was feeding.
Yeah.
I didn't realize I was swimming up behind it until I realized, oh, I'm right behind it.
Yeah.
And then I reached out and grabbed it by the tail.
Get out.
Dude, I tell you, all of a sudden there's, you know, when I grabbed it, he just goes wild. He goes straight away from me, and there's like this big plume of silt in front of me, and I'm looking at people going, I didn't do that.
Wow. That's pretty good, though. Yeah, but you totally spooked the hogfish, huh?
I had my finger around his tail, you know, space between his tail for probably a good minute.
Really?
He had no clue I was there until I grabbed the tail, and then he was gone.
Then you scared the bejesus out of him. He's been scarred for life.
Well, someone said that might not be silt that I saw at the end.
You scared the crap out of him, didn't you? Let's be real.
It was great. And that's why I love it. And when I'm in colder water, like when I'm in the caves, the rebreather, the air that you're breathing is not the same like the air you breathe from open circuit.
Right.
It's really, really warm.
Well, I would imagine that would have came into play there at Blue Heron Bridge, because even though it's shallow, the ocean temp is still on the cool side for a warm water wuss like myself.
It was probably 70, 72 when we dove this last weekend.
Man, that's a 3-mil, 45-minute dive for me. But dive two, I'd be going, okay, I'm getting too chilled. But if it's not getting closer to 80 degrees, you know, I'm getting chilled on the second dive for sure. You know what I mean?
I do know. And sometimes during the summer when I'm on my rebreather, I feel like I have to switch off to open circuit for a breath or two just to cool down.
Really? You get that warm underwater, huh?
The SF2, and I dived the Scuba Force SF2, is probably the warmest of all the rebreathers out there as far as recirculating the air. It's almost, in the summer, it's almost blasting hot. It's great. I love it.
Why do you say that? Why would it be warmer than any other rebreather? Don't they all work the same in that regard?
No, they don't. Hmm. This uses a carbon fiber shell. Okay.
Yeah.
Not a steel shell, not aluminum shell. It's carbon fiber shell, and your exhale goes around the outside of the scrubber, and it goes through the bottom of the scrubber, then out through the top. So it's like insulated, very well insulated from the water, and it never has a chance to get a chill from the water. It just keeps getting hotter and hotter and hotter through the dive as the reaction occurs.
Okay.
Well, definitely exothermic when you're diving in a rebreather. It's definitely exothermic, and it's a good thing when you're cold.
Yeah. Well, I don't even know what that means, but it sounds pretty cool when you say it, exothermic. So that's interesting feature of that particular model of rebreather, I guess. Okay, cool. Well, it sounds like you had quite the experience. Are we going to see you out on the left coast for the scuba show here in a couple weeks, or what do you think?
We haven't decided that yet. We actually have an aunt that lives over in California that we may be bringing back to Florida. She's where we stayed at when we went out there and always visited with her. And, you know, elder issues, as the divers age, we have to deal with our older parents and aunts and what have you. Mm-hmm. That becomes a problematic. So we haven't decided if we can go out or not. I sure would like to. It's the one consumer show I feel I've got to go to every year.
Well, yeah, it's huge. It's sold out. It's looking really, really good this year. It's our, you know, it's Scuba Radio's 20-year anniversary.
Cool.
And we're coming out there, pulling out all the stops. and staying over for a few extra days to go dive Catalina. We'll talk a little bit about that. There
that
has
sounds
been,
like fun.
You know, our off-Broadway production of Scuba Radio, 20 years still sucking on air, went over so well at Beneath the Sea in Secaucus, New Jersey, off-Broadway, that I've been asked to replicate the experience on the Left Coast for the Scuba Show.
Maybe the same people who filmed Sharknado can film this.
Well, possibly.
That's all I'm thinking.
We haven't quite figured out how we're going to get all the props that we had there from our Broadway friends. You know, we had animatronics and lasers and smoke and stuff. So I'm.
I could get smoke for you.
Well, I'm flirting with sock puppets. Do the whole production with sock puppets. What do you think?
That'd go out to Skywalker Ranch.
Okay. Hey. Okay. Yeah. We could put
it's not
it,
the rebreather you were looking for.
We could beef it up with special effects, right? Sock puppets and lightsabers, maybe. I don't know. These are bad ideas that I'm sure we'll pursue. More coming up. Stay close.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explorer Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explorer Ventures, and just maybe why Explorer Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at ExplorerVentures.com. But it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explorer Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explorer Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit ExplorerVentures.com. That's ExplorerVentures.com.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Divers in the Know dive with Dan. Divers Alert Network. DAN is the industry's largest association dedicated to scuba diving safety and has served divers for over 30 years. DAN provides emergency assistance, medical information, educational opportunities, trip insurance, and more. Whether you're just learning scuba or a veteran, a DAN membership just makes good sense. Sign up and take advantage of the many benefits DAN offers by going to dan.org. DAN, your dive safety association.
Surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
You know the fine for littering in the state of California, Chavez?
Yes, sir!
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I will be a California man here in a couple weeks for the Scuba Show, Long Beach, California. That's where we will be. Pete from Scuba Board is my guest right now. He's on the fence, I guess, whether or not he'll be there with us. But now that I told him we're going to have sock puppets and Scuba Radio 20 years, still sucking on air, the stage show, who knows? Will that put you over the top? Maybe you'll join us?
That's getting me close, dude.
Yeah.
Someone send me $1,000, I'll be there, I promise.
Got it. Now, we're actually, I'm traveling this weekend, but there is a big show going on this weekend down in South Florida, the Blue Wild Show. So you're going to be down there doing a little bit of that, I guess, and you can tell us about it next week, you think?
I will do that. It's such a, it's grown up.
It's
the youngest
up.
Show out there.
True.
Mind you.
Yeah. It's only but been it went around from, a few years. Yeah.
It went from being just mostly Spiros, people who spearfish, to being the whole panoply of scuba diving. Everything is there.
Yeah. Well, I hope it does really well this weekend. I mean, they're doing it on Earth Day, so that's a good connection there. So we'll see how that unfolds, and you can tell us how it all went next week on the big show. Or fill me in if you come out to Long Beach. You know,
I'll do that.
I'm doing the scuba show, and then right after the show, I'm hopping on a liveaboard boat, a private boat, and we're going to cruise over to Catalina for a few days. So I'm really looking forward to that. Now, have you been over there to dive? Have you done any of that stuff? Several times or what?
I won't do several times. That was my first Pacific dive was there, and it lasted almost 10 seconds. I had a dry suit flood.
Oh.
And I've dove in it, I think, three times since that ill-fated 10-second dive.
Yeah, okay. Well, that would do it.
It's a fun place.
Oh, it's a beautiful area. I've been there once. I went over there on one of the, you know, on the Catalina Express. It goes over there in the morning, comes back in the day each day.
That's fun.
Oh, yeah. It's a great side trip. And we didn't dive, but I looked around, you know, at the water. I was like, wow, it is really clear.
And Dive Casino Point.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to. I'd like to dive with these Garibaldis, but what scares me away is the water temp. I mean, they've actually moved the scuba show up a month, so it's actually a month earlier in the year. So I've been told that the water temp there at Catalina is going to be deathly cold. It might look very appealing from the surface, but you, you know, dip your toes in that, you go, whoa!
You know, the fish can handle it. I don't see why we can't.
Well,
that's all I'm saying.
Have you not heard me scream like a little girl? I mean,
actually, yes, I have.
Yeah. No, I'm a wuss. I'll admit it. So I don't know. Butch and Vinny Two Tanks. It's actually Butch's boat. He is, he's encouraging CJ and myself to come on out and at least to go snorkel. He said, put on a 3 mil and we can snorkel. You'd stay on the surface. You'll be fine. And I was like, okay, maybe we can pull something like that off. But I'm still a little bit concerned even about that, because I'm afraid even at the surface, the water temp's going to still be too friggin' cold for a warm water wuss like myself. But we'll see.
Yeah, they have the thermocline right at the top.
Yeah, well, good point. I'm thinking I need one of those, one of those snorkel viewfinder thingies. Where you get on the
there
side of the
go.
Boat and you just stick it down and you keep your head out of the water, but you can see like you're snorkeling.
Or maybe Thermolution will be at the show and you can grab one of their heated vests.
Oh, that's an idea. That might
It works in water as well as in a dry suit.
Yeah, it's like a electronic urinator. You know what I'm
saying? Something like that.
I don't think they call their model that, but yeah. But those wetsuits with the battery packs on them heats the water in your wetsuit. Electronically as opposed to manually, which a lot of divers.
You can cook dinner on it.
Yeah, you can cook dinner on it. I've never seen that. It doesn't get that hot. I will tell you, one of our mermaids used one of those a few years ago, and when she came back out of the water and she took it off, she had been branded.
She had
turned it up a notch too high.
Notch too high.
Yeah. And I was like, okay, well, that's what you don't do with one of those things. But she was warm, and she was fine. So I guess it has its pluses and minuses. But, yeah, I don't know. That might be one alternative. But now, Casino Point.
Have you dove in kelp before?
I have. I dove off of Redondo with our good buddy Bob Evans from Force Fins. Matter of fact, I dove one of those rash guards on that dive. I had one of those under my wetsuit, and that got me through the dives quite well. I was pretty impressed. And that's when, you know, our mermaid had branded herself, too. So I wore mine fine. Those things work pretty good. But I dove in the kelp a little bit. It wasn't great conditions. It was okay. Visibility was kind of – it wasn't one of those videos where you see the light dancing through the kelp, and it just looks magical. I mean, that's what I want to experience at some point. I just have to get over the cold water issue or pick a time where the water is as warm as it'll possibly get in a kelp forest, you know? But that's what they have in Catalina, right? They have the kelp forest?
It's a kelp forest, the dive park right off of, Casino Point, they have the dive shops. They'll bring tanks down for you. You go dive it. They have the big, huge sea bass. The giant sea bass, I think. It's like our Jewfish.
Right.
Except the Pacific version. They'll, you know, you're swimming through kelp trying to not get hooked on stuff, and all of a sudden, face to face with, you know, a fish that's could almost swallow you. It's awesome.
Well, the sea bass are one thing, but you know what we're not used to in Florida is seeing these sea lions and seals and things, right?
I didn't see those in the park, but no. That doesn't mean they can't be there.
What, like sea otters and stuff, or is that more like Northern California, like Monterey and stuff like that?
Yeah, I didn't see any sea otters there. I think they're closer to the mainland.
Yeah.
I've dove with sea lions. I've dove with a lot of sea lions, and those guys are fun. They'll come down and play with you. You'll be down at 30 feet, and all of a sudden, you know, they'll pull the reg right out of your mouth just playing with you.
Mm. Well, that doesn't sound very playful.
You
it
know,
sounds a little annoying.
Diver,
like, don't do that.
If you're a good diver, it's you put it back in your mouth go along. But they'll play with your camera. They're frisky. They want you to play with them.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
They're trying to get you to come and have a good time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I haven't done it enough. I have the only encounter I've had with sea lions before was in the Galapagos and was great. I had an awesome encounter, and this big old sea lion came up to me and blew bubbles in my face, and I was like joking with him and stuff. And then we got up out of the water, and the dive master was like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "It was the best encounter ever." He goes, That sea lion was aggravated, and he was mad at you. He was going to bite your head off. I was like, well, thanks for not telling me that then, because it would have changed the whole encounter. I was out of harm's way when he finally told me the truth. I thought it was the best encounter ever, but what do I know? All right, more coming up. Stay close to the world's first radio show devoted to diving. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. Pete from Scuba Board is my guest right now. So, Pete, what have they been chatting about lately on Scuba Board? What's the big, you know, buzz?
Scuba diving.
Okay, thanks. And but anything more specific?
Sorry, I mean, that's what we talk about.
I made it too easy for him. That's just what he does, of course.
Actually, we've had several posts. We've been talking about stuff like I know you've been covering the Rob Stewart stuff.
Right.
We're talking about that and the lawsuit and all the repercussions.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about a lot of things. One that really came up to me was Dan has come out with its top 10 most wanted improvements in scuba diving.
Oh, and what, to make your make you a better diver? These are the 10 things you should focus on?
Safer diver.
Okay, well, can you run
which
through
is a better
we got,
diver?
We got about a minute and a half. Share. Go ahead.
Well, the top one is correct weighting. Don't overweight yourself. Don't go in like, you know, a plummet to the bottom.
Right. That makes
better
sense.
Better buoyancy control.
Of course.
Okay.
Yeah.
They go kind of hand in hand.
Right.
More attention to gas planning.
Mm-hmm.
Better ascent rate control.
Okay, yeah.
Increased use of checklists, which is important, especially if you do a rebreather.
Yeah, definitely.
Fewer equalizing injuries. You know, blow, then go. Don't wait till you hear, feel the pressure. Improved cardiovascular health in divers.
Right.
Go to swim some laps. And diving more often.
Okay, yeah, diving more often. Practice makes perfect.
Greater attention to diving within limits, which is my, you know, diver's got to know his limitations. That's my mantra during class.
Sure. Know your limits,
and
dive within them, right?
The last one is improve maintenance on your equipment. Don't neglect it.
Keep your gear in check, and if not, chuck it and buy some new stuff.
The manufacturers will love us for saying that.
Absolutely.
Buy new stuff.
It helps grow the industry, and, you know, it's a lot of headache.
Employed.
So true. All right, good stuff, Pete. And of course, you want more detail, just go to scubaboard.com and you can chat away to your heart's content with your fellow scuba boarders. All right, Pete, thanks, buddy.
Later, my friend.
More coming up. Stay close.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
You have the right station?
Oh, yeah. Oh, sure.
He is a diver and a doctor, too. He's underwater in the ocean blue.
Yes, you did.
If he asks you for a sample of your pee,
don't take this bag off.
Don't you know you'll be in surgery?
Whoa, stop right there.
They call him
Dr. Doug.
They call him Dr. Doug.
Call him Dr. Doug.
He's lubing up his stinking glove.
Call him
Hold on to your butt.
I don't even know what that means. I don't think I want to know. But of course, the song can only mean one thing, and that means that we have Dr. Doug Ebersol on Scuba Radio right now. It's been too long, Dr. Doug. How are you?
I'm doing great, Greg. Song is an interesting tribute. I'm not sure how exactly to take that. But,
well, a tribute,
thank you for playing it.
Tribute would be the right word, because anything else would just be inappropriate and probably something we'd have to apologize for. And I'm just going to apologize anyway, just to be safe. But you know, it comes from the heart, which you can relate to as being a cardiologist as well as a very accomplished diver, rebreather diver. He does it all when it comes to that kind of stuff. So where have you been diving since the last time we hung out in the Florida Keys?
I've done a little bit of cave diving up in North Florida, and then a couple of weeks ago I was down in Key Largo teaching a rebreather class down there.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, you know, I was talking with Pete from Scuba Board. He just did some diving up at Blue Heron Bridge in Palm Beach on his rebreather. You know, and I was surprised that he was diving the rebreather. He was in like 20 feet of water there. It was really shallow. And I was like, really? Is that the best way to use your rebreather in a shallow water situation like that? I mean, what do you tell your students when you're doing, well, you're doing the KISS rebreather, right? That's the...
Right. I dive a couple of different rebreathers, a couple of the KISS models, as well as what's called the JJ, which is an electronic rebreather. Mm-hmm. As far as the shallow stuff, I know people tend to think of rebreathers as only for deep stuff, technical stuff, and so forth. And while they're very, very good for that, they're also very good just for recreational diving. As you know, because you were on the Inspiration Evolution, just the fact that you don't have bubbles allows you to get close to marine life. I personally just like things because of the warm, moist air, so you don't get the cotton mouth. And that's beneficial regardless of the depth. Yeah, it's probably overkill to be on a rebreather in 20 feet of water, but it's still a good chance to, you know, keep up your skills, keep up your trim, work on some bailout stuff, and you know, just get comfortable on it. Because God forbid you have a problem in 20 feet of water, it's much safer than having that problem in 200 feet of water.
Sure.
And the problem that people get into is if you only use the rebreather on those deep technical dives and you're not doing those on a regular basis, well then by the time you quote, you know, need unquote the rebreather, your skills aren't very good. So if you're using it all the time, you know, one of the training agencies recommend that if you dive a rebreather that it should be your quote primary unquote form of diving. Not every dive, but you know, dive in enough that you stay good at it. So
right.
I actually dive mine pretty much any time I'm going diving unless there's some reason not to, or I don't have access to oxygen or soda sorb, that sort of thing. So, you know, I do a lot of diving recreational depths over in West Palm Beach, 40, 60 feet of water.
Right.
And I routinely just dive the rebreather. So I can understand why Pete would do that. It's, you know, it's kind of fun. I've done that before. If I happen to be diving, let's say, a morning trip out of West Palm Beach and high tide at Blue Heron was middle of the afternoon and I already had my rebreather already set up for the morning dive, I'll just take it over to the bridge and dive that rather than, you know, break that down and put a – a BC on an aluminum 80 just so I don't have to dive the rebreather, you know, and look like I'm diving a rebreather in 20 feet of water.
Yeah.
But it works out great.
Well, I imagine so. And all the open circuit divers look at you like you're kind of like a superhero. Isn't it?
They look at you more like you've lost your mind for jumping into 20 feet of water with all this gear on. But that's a whole other problem.
Well, look, and then you just make fun of them underwater. Like, look at all those bubbles. You.
That's mere right.
Mere mortal diver. I'm a super, you know, it's like wearing a cape and a mask and tights. Maybe not tights, but you know
maybe
what
not
I'm saying.
Tights.
Yeah. But the course that you were doing down in the Keys, how long does it take? Was that like an intro to rebreather diving course, or what?
This was actually a crossover course for a gentleman from New York. He is actually already certified at the normoxic trimix level, which is diving to about 200 feet on the Poseidon rebreather, and he wanted to cross over to doing the KISS rebreathers. There's two of them he was looking at, the back-mounted kind of regular standard-looking kind of rebreather called the KISS Spirit. The advantage of that is it's a very light rebreather. It packs up and only weighs like 24 pounds, which is, you know, less than where an aluminum 80 with a BC and a reg on it.
Yeah.
And then the second one, which has come out more recently, just came out about DEMA of last year, which is called the Sidewinder, which is a side mount rebreather. So that actually has a side mount harness, so there's nothing on your back. There's two scrubbers that kind of sit kind of near your armpits, which is kind of also where the tanks are. And it gives you the advantages of side mount in that for swimming around inside, let's say, tight places in wrecks or in caves, you don't have anything on your back, so it decreases your profile, but at the same time still have all the advantages of the rebreather. So he was actually doing both of those. So what we ended up doing was we had to get 4 hours of diving on the first one I was talking about, the Spirit, and then once we got him certified on that, then we put him on the Sidewinder and did another several hours on that. So he actually got certified on both in kind of a four-day weekend kind of thing, 4 to 5 days kind of so forth.
Very nice.
So we did like some long, you know, the other boat went out and did like a double dip on the Spiegel Grove, and we instead just did a, you know, a 2.5 hour dive.
That's awesome. Yeah, you skip the surface interval.
Skip the surface interval,
yeah.
Exactly.
And then wait for the open circuit guys to join you on a dive number. Oh, we've been down and we've already seen all that. Catch up with the class.
And it works out great, you know, as long as you're not screwing up when the boat captain needs to leave, you know, it works out well. So you just drop in, you know, first people in the water and you do your dive. And when they come up for their surface interval, you just stay down on the wreck. And then they all come back down for the second dive. And then when everybody's coming back up, you just kind of go up with them and head back into shore.
Now, the Sidewinder unit, that's the new thing in technical diving, whether it's rebreathers or trimix and that kind of thing. That's still the hot new thing. Everybody's putting their tanks on their side so they can get through these cracks and crevices, especially when it comes to the caves and stuff. Are you into that kind of thing, too?
Yeah, I for the hardcore cave divers that may be listening to the show, I'm more of a kind of a recreational cave diver, so to speak. In other words, I do the cave dives here in North Florida or in Mexico and so forth, where they're already lined and so forth. I'm not a big explorer per se, you know, going into places where no one's ever been before. That doesn't really interest me.
Mm-hmm.
But the designer of this unit, of all the KISS units, actually, Mike Young, is, and that's what he does. He's a cave explorer, bar none. And he developed this rebreather so that he could get into tight spaces he couldn't get into otherwise, but still be able to have the advantages of a rebreather. So that's how the Sidewinder kind of came into being. But yeah, you're exactly right. There are some places, classically, there's a place called the Lips, which is in the Devil's system at Ginny Springs, where when you first go into cave dive at Ginny Springs, and either you go into the ear or the eye, will take you there if you've done like the cavern part of that. There's what's called the gallery, which is the first part of the cave is very tall, and not narrow, but not real wide. And you swim through that area, and as you make a turn, it becomes very flat and very low. So you end up going from a very, you know, upright to a very horizontal kind of thing. And that usually when you crawl through for, you know, 20 or 40 feet or so, your tank's kind of touching, kind of hitting the top of the ceiling, and your belly's kind of on the bottom, and you're kind of just kind of crawling through against the flow.
Right.
The last time I went up to Ginny a couple of weeks ago with my scooter, I was able to just, you know, kind of scooter and duck my head and just scooter right through, again, because you have nothing on your back. So it's kind of a neat feeling. By having the tanks on your side is also very good for your trim. I know that's, you know, real big in Pete's mind. You know, Pete is diving the SF2 a lot, I think, now, which is also a side mount rebreather. And by having the tanks on your side, it really trims you out. You can be very horizontal in the water. So it's a very, that part of things is very nice as well, just for technique.
Yeah. And I would imagine too, well, I don't know. I mean, is it easier on your back and stuff too? Because you have less weight on your back, or is it just distributed on the side? And
well, there's actually a lot of popularity even in recreational diving to go to side mount for certain people, because you can clip your tanks on in the water. Let's say for shore diving, it's nice because you can just carry one tank at a time down to the, you know, you could carry two aluminum 40s rather than 180, and you carry them down to the water, yeah, and then kind of put them on once you're in the water, and then take them off and walk back wearing basically the equivalent of a BC. Mm-hmm. The same thing you can do on a boat, depending on the conditions. You could actually get in the water wearing nothing really more than a BC, have somebody hand you your tanks down, and you clip them on while you're in the water. And then when you are getting ready to get back on the boat, you could theoretically just unclip them, put them on a line, or hand them up to the dive master. And then when you come up the ladder, you're really only wearing a BC.
Hmm. I like it.
So it sounds interesting. It sounds nice advantages.
It sounds like less work. And
exactly,
you know, and I'm all about that now. I'm all about working smarter now these days, or diving smarter. So
yeah,
the
older you get, the more likely you are to want to dive smarter. That's
yes. Okay. Wiser. I'm going to go with wiser as opposed to older. All right. More with Dr. Doug next. Stay close.
Scuba Radio.
Would you like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
For over 20 years, Explore Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explore Ventures, and just maybe why Explore Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at exploreventures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explore Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explore Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explore Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit exploreventures.com. That's exploreventures.com.
Traffic sucks, unless you're scuba diving with Mike Scott.
Mike glanced down at his dive computer. It showed less than 50 PSI left in his tank. Probably just a few more breaths.
Or riding shotgun in a thrilling car chase.
One bullet hit the Jeep's windshield, spiderwebbing the passenger side. Mike shifted into second gear and felt the Jeep leap forward. This just got serious.
Escape your commute with audiobooks from author Eric Douglas. Download to your phone. Go to booksbyeric.com or audible.com.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into scubaradio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the Shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at scubaradio.com.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
Prepare to rig for dive!
Your surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
If a man swims nude in the ocean, what sea creature might mistake his manhood for food? Jordan.
Shark.
Shark. They're going to play. Jay, let's get after it, man. If a man swims nude in the ocean, what sea creature might mistake his manhood for food?
Mermaid.
Best answer so far, yeah.
I stick with my answer.
I love your answer.
We need to ask different people.
We will dream that tonight.
Come on, let's go.
I'm going deep. In over my head, I'm going to get going.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving in. I am Greg the Dive Master. Dr. Doug Ebersole is our guest right now. He's a cardiologist. He's a master diver extraordinaire. He rebreathers, you name it, he's done it. He's just a nice guy, too. We had a great time down in the Florida Keys. We got to go diving again together soon.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Like I've been telling you, I've been trying to get you to get some more rebreather dives under your belt.
Well, you know, all this talk about you doing that training down in the Keys with your buddy and the Sidewinder unit or whatever, I'm anxious to get back in the groove there. I haven't done any rebreather stuff, let alone diving, in quite a while, so I'm anxious to get back in the water. And staying warm is definitely an issue we had down there in the Keys. It was too damn cold, so maybe I need to just go right to the rebreather And if I did that, I'd be warmer. You hear what I'm saying?
Maybe? Yeah, the scrubber does get hot, so it will keep you a little warmer. It's April now, so it's not going to take too long for the water to get warm. And I'm only about 45 minutes away from you, so we can get some time together either up in the Springs, that's a little chilly, or over to West Palm when the water gets up closer to 80.
Well, that's what I'm hoping for. Right now, I'm hearing like water temps is 76, 77. So it's close. It's close. I need like 2 more degrees and I'll be good to go. So
yeah, what we need to do is just get over to the Blue Heron Bridge and kind of see all the great stuff there, because I know you haven't done that in a while.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then that's a good way to kind of get used to the rebreather in shallow water, then later in the day, go out and catch a nice 2-tank trip the beautiful reefs off West Palm.
That sounds like a plan. Well, I'm going out to Long Beach in a couple weeks for the scuba show, and we are going to Catalina Island, where the water is deathly cold. So I'm going there. I don't even know if I'm going to get in the water. I may just have to get in the water to just kind of shock my system, and then when I get back to Florida, I'll be going like, oh, 76, 76. Oh, yeah, that is bathwater, baby. You see what
Absolutely.
I'm saying?
Absolutely.
I got to bring down my body temperature, core temperature, so I can dive in colder water again. But I don't know. We'll work on it. But I know you have some plans to do some more rebreather diving in May. Is that right?
Yeah. The annual Interspace event, which is put on by Dive Tech in Grand Cayman, is coming up May 20th to 27th. And that's a big rebreather event. It's this currently owned by Joe, who bought it from Nancy and Jay. And she's been doing a wonderful job down at Dive Tech the last couple of years owning that area.
Mm-hmm.
And it's typically, it's, you know, 50 to 100 people, all rebreather divers. You have all the manufacturers there. You have lots of people doing training, and they do demos. And there's talks every night and raffles and giveaways. It's just a really great event. Even people who aren't rebreathers, they have usually every morning there's 3 boats that go out. They have 1 boat that is the recreational boat that stays, you know, 100 feet, 130 feet, and either can be open circuit or rebreathers. And then they have a moderate depth boat, which goes to 200 feet.
Mm-hmm.
And then the deep boat, which is the 300, 330-foot boat. And everybody does their own profiles. The deeper boats usually do a 2.5-hour profile, 1 dive each morning. The recreational boat does kind of the typical 2 1-hour dives, or the rebreather guys may do 1 2-hour dive. And then the afternoons are free, and people do some shore diving or hang out by the pool, or, you know, do whatever they get to work on their tan, whatever they want to do. And then each evening there's nice meals and presentations and raffles and all kinds of stuff. It's a wonderful event. I try to go every year that I can.
Yeah, well, and it's a week-long event, right? Saturday to Saturday.
Right, Saturday to Saturday, yep.
No, I didn't know that. Nancy and Jay sold Interspace off to another person a couple of years ago?
Yeah, Joe, I'm really bad. I should be able to pronounce her name, but I'm not real good at this. Like, Joe, it's like Mitkowitz or Muckowitz or something like that. She was one of their boat captains and one of their instructors
divers
and so forth.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then she purchased it from them, I think. Don't quote me on this, but probably 1 or 2 years ago, I think. Mm-hmm. Last year's event, I was down there, and I think that was the first one she was actually running herself, and Jay and Nancy were kind of in a advisory
right.
role to kind of help her, you know, get through the logistics, since they've been doing it for so long. But
got it.
Yeah, she's doing a fantastic job down there.
Well, good on them. Yeah, I'd love to come out for that. It's been way too long since we've been over there. Dive Tech's a beautiful property too. Like you said, just to hang out there in the afternoon. I mean, I can picture it like I was there yesterday, and it was probably 10 years ago at least. We did Christmas in the Caymans.
There you go.
But I don't know, doing the rebreathers, man, that would be pretty nice, because the conditions there are just consistently easy, no current, great visibility. I mean, I can only imagine what you would see, especially on some of those deeper dives where a lot of the tourists don't typically get to. I would imagine the diving's pretty spectacular. Am I right?
Oh, absolutely. And the nice thing about, you were talking about the depths and stuff on the rebreathers before, the nice thing about Cayman is there's some really beautiful areas between about 150 and about 210 or 250 feet. So deep, but not ridiculous. And the reason for that is it's deep enough that the hurricane belt going through doesn't really disturb things down there.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got massive sponges and corals and deep undercuts and just really, really beautiful stuff. So it's a nice place to be able to go. And it's like you said, there's very little current. It's a great place for just recreational diving, tech diving, everything. Like you mentioned, the conditions are just fantastic. And Dive Tech is just an outstanding organization. I would highly recommend them to anybody.
Well, there you go. Absolutely. I'm sold. I might have to make
there
that
you go.
Happen. We'll have to see. All right. Well, thanks for the update, Dr. Doug. We appreciate it. Always a pleasure, my friend.
Always a pleasure to talk to you, Greg. Can't wait to go dive with you again.
You got it. And that'll do it for this week's edition of The Big Show. Till next time, remember, it's always better down where it's wetter. Safe diving, everyone.
You know how to whale here. That's why it's hot under the water. Yeah, we love you.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
Scuba Radio.
This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, you know what I just heard? Blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.